I'm a parent to two out-of-the-box kids, not entirely in the box myself. I'd really dove into learning from autistic adults, getting support, understanding a whole lot about how his brain worked, what things were helpful, what things that seemed innocuous were actually harmful. I'd done a lot of learning and it made sense, and I had a lot of instincts that really worked and connected with him and both of my kids. I was completely personally overwhelmed, and my capacity was just so limited. Some relatively minor things could push me over the edge to where I was not able to respond calmly out of the way that I knew I wanted to, out of the way I naturally gravitated to when I was in a good place myself, and I knew I needed support with that.
Is your child's challenging behavior leaving you feeling exhausted, defeated, and hopeless? You are not alone. And I want you to know you are not a failure and your child is not broken. Welcome to Calm the Chaos Parenting, the podcast for parents raising strong-willed, highly sensitive, or neurodivergent children. I'm Dana Abraham, parenting expert, and I have helped hundreds of thousands of families just like yours. Each week, I'll share simple science-backed solutions to help you feel more grounded, in tune, and deeply connected to your child, no matter what challenge you face. Start your journey from surviving to thriving as a family at calmthechaospodcast.com. Hey, 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 everyone, and welcome back to the Calm the Chaos Parenting Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about that disconnect from when you have all that head knowledge, you've read the books, you've done the learning, you understand your kid, you might as well have a PhD in parenting. And yet, in the moment, there's this huge disconnect between what you know you should be doing and your in-the-moment plan, and where that breakdown happens, and some ideas on how you can get unstuck. And I'm joined by someone who I hold near and dear to my heart. She's one of our Calm the Chaos members. She's been with us for quite some time now, and I have just loved watching her grow and flourish. And so I am just excited to have you here. Jenny, welcome to the podcast.
Good to be here.
Yeah. So for people who don't know about you or your story, can you tell a little bit about yourself and your family?
Yeah. So I'm a human. Start
yes,
with the
you
basics.
Are.
I'm an artist. I'm a geologist. I'm a parent to two out-of-the-box kids, not entirely in the box myself. The oldest is going to be 10 next month, so that's getting big. We've got multiple neurodivergencies diagnosed within our house and additional suspected.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit when I introduced this topic, this disconnect between the knowledge and the disconnect between like what's actually happening. Can you describe kind of what life was like when you first found Calm the Chaos? Because you had a lot of this knowledge, correct?
Yeah. When I first joined, my oldest was six, I believe. We were in the middle of COVID kindergarten for him. He had been diagnosed as autistic for a good 3 years at that point. The youngest we thought at that point was a extroverted neurotypical. We've learned more about him since. I'd really dove into learning from autistic adults, getting support, understanding a whole lot about how his brain worked, what things were helpful, what things that seemed innocuous were actually harmful. I'd done a lot of learning and it made sense. And I had a lot of instincts that really worked and connected with him and both of my kids. But when I was overwhelmed and COVID kindergarten, we're slowly and patiently working on remote kindergarten while there's the extroverted little brother who wants to be in on everything without outside support, that I was completely personally overwhelmed and my capacity was just so limited. And when some relatively minor things could push me over the edge to where I was not able to respond calmly out of the way that I knew I wanted to, out of the way I naturally gravitated to when I was in a good place myself, and I knew I needed support with that.
In Calm the Chaos, we talk about you connect, understand, empower. And you really focused in on that you piece because you felt like you pretty solidly had some of the other pieces, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I'd actually gone through the 7 day twice before and was like, oh yeah, this all makes sense. It's great. This is what I'm doing. And then that third time, the middle of COVID and everything, it connected that I can focus on myself for that with this.
Yeah. So let's walk through what that means, because I think people might not know or understand what that can look like. So, what do you mean when you say you could apply Calm the Chaos to yourself?
So at first it was a little bit vague what that would look like, but I had committed to going through the program and thinking about my own reactions and responses as we went through it. The first thing that was really helpful in making the first tweak was the 5 minute energy plan. A big thing for me on that was the little daily pieces of taking care of myself that was so much more effective than the occasional big splurge.
What would an occasional big splurge be?
Oh, like a day to myself painting in a really cool area.
Oh, that sounds lovely, actually.
Yeah, it was, but sometimes when I would sometimes have that, and I would sometimes feel so much pressure to make the most of this opportunity that it was more stressful than not.
And so what does small daily self-care look like versus these big splurges?
So for me, my first iteration was I'd set a timer with some like really calming music. Actually, I wouldn't set a timer. I would just play one song and I'd do a little doodle for about 5 to 7 minutes. Because I know that for me, art is really refreshing. I would intentionally go outside and get a deep breath of fresh air, moving my body a little bit, and an app that can work you through just a really simple, some simple exercises at home. So those were some of the things I did in my first iteration.
Yeah, and now that you're saying that, I've come to love your art and how you express yourself through your art. You share a lot of that with us in the community. But now that you're sharing about the doodles, it is all flooding back into my memory. And I'm remembering those doodles that you would share with us. And I was like, wow, there's something special with this one. Just the way you express yourself with your art. And you started really seeing a lot of changes once you started giving yourself these little moments of time for yourself and taking care of yourself. What were some of the changes that you started seeing in the beginning?
Just overall feeling a little bit more relaxed myself. It helped to bring up my baseline calm. The daily brain dump was a big part of the self-care that made a big difference. Just the executive functioning tools that I've learned being in Calm the Chaos that actually work with my brain. And then so knowing that I could plan or have a goal and make tiny steps and have strategies to implement the tiny steps that would actually work, I think that was huge.
Yeah. And when you talk about the brain dump, I know I talk about it in the book and how to do the brain dump, but I hear from a lot of people that the brain dump is overwhelming to them, that it feels like, well, I do write down everything that I'm thinking. I do write my to-do list every day. Can you describe how it's different than a to-do list and why it was helpful for you?
Yes, first of all, it was just getting everything out of my head. A lot of times it would end up being fewer things on the list than I assumed there would be when it's just swirling around. And then categorizing it so I could focus on what's actually important, what might be something that's a nice idea that I can keep on my side list, what can I just get rid of because it's not actually going to help us. And then intentionally only choosing 3 things to put on my list for the
And you have
day.
even a system for choosing those 3 things, right? There's even now, maybe it wasn't always like this, but you're very intentional with those 3 things.
Yeah, often, and a lot of times it will depend on what feels is not getting as much focus naturally as I want it to, but I will often choose something that's about family and family connection, usually something that's about daily self-care. Like I've been taking the stairs at work and that's usually on my list. Just keep doing it. And then something that's a tiny step towards a big goal. And sometimes I find that I'll have the same thing on my list day after day after day, and it keeps not getting done. And when that happens, I know that I need to find the even tinier first step.
Which is more of those like executive functioning tools that you were talking about. So you've kind of mentioned some ways that you connected with yourself and through doing this, but what are some things that you've learned about yourself?
Yeah, so there was the bonus that went with the 4.0 that was parenting while triggered. Mm-hmm. And that was super helpful to me. One of the big things was about not judging my response, mm-hmm. learning what my response was, and finding a plan that doesn't say that where I'm working with my brain instead of saying I should be able to just mm-hmm. stay in the room and stay calm, but instead recognizing I have a flight instinct. And if I go step outside and take a deep breath of fresh air, that tells my brain, walking through the threshold tells my brain, I'm taking care of you. We're safe. And then I can go back in. Mm.
So working with the way your brain works instead of against it. And so many times we are being told to remain calm, to be still, to take deep breaths, to all these things, or not yell, when sometimes we need to go outside and yell at a rock or whatever it is, or throw things. I have someone who was telling me, I think it was Amanda Diekman, was saying that when she does laundry, she throws the laundry into bins because it feeds into that like desire and need to throw and get things out. And it sounds like that's what you're kind of talking about here, is you were digging into understanding your child and how to support your child, but there was a disconnect because you weren't really digging into, but how do I work and what do I need so that I can show up the way I want to? Am I hearing all of that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what would a plan look like now? That 5-minute energy plan, is it still just 5 minutes a day or is there more to it now?
So I don't have it listed in one plan at the moment. The thing that's the most consistent is I get up early. I will record some wins or thoughts from the previous day. I have a couple of little consistent mindset shifts that I do. I write that down and then I do my brain dump and choose my big three. Do that pretty much every day. Mm. So that's really consistent. I've been taking the stairs regularly at work. That's pretty consistent. And finding time for art each day, mm-hmm. most days.
And this has made a big difference in your, not just how you show up for your kids, but it's made a big difference in your day-to-day. Is that correct?
It has.
Yeah, so
it has.
Describe like the way mornings used to be versus how they are now.
If I told you 2 years ago that I would be getting up between 5 and 5:30 every morning and going to bed at 9. I would have said, well, that sounds like a great idea, but
not in my life.
don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. So I'm getting up well before everyone else. It gives me time for some coffee, it gives me time to reset my brain. And before I was sleeping until the last minute because I really needed sleep, because I had stayed up too late the night before, eking out a minute of time by myself, which was not quality time. It was just, it was solitude, but it was not otherwise refreshing. And then a lot of times I'm able to get some little tiny tasks done first thing, and it helps me go through the day without feeling discombobulated and stressed and having no idea what's happening, or like the 50 things, what feels like 50 things, but is often only actually 3 or 4. I'm just playing on a loop about, I need to do this and this and this, and just makes it a lot easier to be present, to show up the way I want to.
What would you say to someone who's hearing you describe your mornings or evenings now and going, okay, I'm turning this off. Like, this woman's talking crazy talk now. What would you say to someone who's listening to this now and just like, yeah, that's not happening. She hasn't met our family.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. You haven't met me a couple years ago. For years was knowing it would be better if I got better sleep and knowing that the mornings would be helpful, but it didn't happen overnight. It took tiny tweaks by tiny tweak, and this is where I'm at now, but it is not where I ever thought I would actually be able to get to.
And you guys are not like in butterfly and rainbow land. There's been some struggles this year where you've really had to double down on these practices we're talking about.
Yeah, it's actually, this past year has been a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety in our household about normal everyday things that the nervous system feels what it does, and you work with that. Some big school struggles, and this has helped me to actually be able to handle it and to know the community has been a huge help. There were times in the fall. I was quite overwhelmed. I showed up on a couple of coaching calls and like, I could probably go through stuff and figure out what my next step is, but here's these people who get me and I could just show up and say help and I don't have to figure it all out by myself.
I think that's the thing that so many parents don't realize, because it does feel really isolating, especially when you're learning all of these tools and strategies and information about our kids and we're surrounded by people. I would guess you were probably in communities before and you were surrounded by people who seem to get it before, but there is a vast difference in being surrounded by people who get it and then truly being supported by your online community. And I feel like you've really leaned into that and used that to your advantage, not just this year, over the last 4 years. Can you speak to that difference? Because I know you were doing the learning and you were jumping in groups and learning from other people who've been here before you. How's that different than what you're talking about here?
Well, part of it is just personal growth, being able to see where I need help and ask for it, not trying to do it all on my own. And that has also been through the support of the community. So even thinking last week, I was on jury duty and there were times when I just asked for the things that I knew would help me. I know that my brain will pay attention better if I'm doodling. So I'm going to make sure it's okay if I do that. I know I will doodle better if I have my lap pad. I'm going to ask for the thing that will help. And and that's part of the whole taking care of myself and learning about how my brain works and knowing what my instincts are to go it alone and figure it out myself and power through, and then learning how much easier it is, how much more supportive it is when I can recognize what would help and lean in and ask for it.
Dana here, and guess what? My book, Calm the Chaos, has officially launched. So if you enjoy the podcast and find the stuff we're sharing valuable, I'm 100% sure you're going to love the book. You can get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you use this link, you'll also get some special bonuses. So once again, the link is calmthechaosbook.com. Thanks. I hope you're enjoying the show. What would you say to someone who's listening to this and they're feeling like, I'm exhausted, I'm waking up groggy, the way you described the way you used to do life? That's me currently. And I don't see a path to get from where I am to where you're talking about, where you wake up early and you spend time on yourself and you get to doodle and you know your needs and wants, you know what to ask for. What would you say to that parent if they were in front of you right now?
I joined 3.5 years ago or so, and this is where I am today. It's been baby steps. The tiny tweak at a time, a little tweak that makes enough of a difference to get you to the place where you can see and make the next tiny tweak. It's not, you don't have to throw out everything you're doing and implement something brand new. It's a journey.
And where's your family at now? Like, how are you guys interacting together? How are you able to show up for your family compared to where things were 3.5, almost 4 years ago?
Yeah, I have a much higher baseline. So I'm able to show up calmly in the midst of stressful situations. When my oldest was having some pretty big anxiety about some everyday stuff, my phrase anchor that I would say as I'd sit with him is, I will be his calm, because I knew he didn't have it inside him. I could sit next to him and maintain that for a while, tap out with my husband when I needed to. Yeah.
Life is just different now, right?
It is. It is different now. I don't feel like I'm constantly at that edge. I have one thing that is helpful for me when there's a lot of stuff going on is my earplugs. They help keep me down a little bit. I've found I haven't looked for them or needed them in a while. And it's fine if someone needs them every day, if noise is so much that just need it every day. But for me, it was, I'm enough below that point of being triggered. I don't need them.
Well, I was just talking to someone who's new to our community, and she realized that her son was no longer needing a certain sensory support. And I said to her, that means that he's feeling safer. So it means that his internal nervous system is more settled, more regulated, because the outward sounds are triggering me, or touch or movement. That's like when we talk about the behavior funnel, like sensory is level 3 down, and basic needs and that felt safety. If you're not feeling that way, your sensory triggers are going to be through the roof. And so I would guess that's why you're not needing the headphones as much. Not that like you no longer are triggered by noise or whatever, but if your stress levels were to go back up, my guess is earplugs would go back in.
Absolutely. Yes, that is exactly the experience. And my big goal in the fall, and it's going through one of the groups that came through, was the big why was for everyone to feel safe in their everyday spaces. Mm-hmm. And we are at that point right now. I don't feel like I have to have my phone on and right next to me all the time, because I am not getting calls from school right now.
I remember the first time that happened and I realized like, oh my gosh, my phone is not on right next to me. It's gone to the opposite end now. And I like just sitting here talking to you, I think I realize why, but I don't have any sounds on my phone and I don't have any notifications on my phone. And I always thought it was because of my ADHD distractions and that it just keeps me like focused if I don't have any of that. I think I just pinpointed something, that it's because I was on high alert so much. This phone had to be attached to me and on vibrate and on sound. And I had to be on the ready to hop in the car and drive to school at the drop of a hat. I don't have to anymore. And it's been years since I've had that. And I think that's why I don't want any sounds coming from my phone. It's because I'm like, no, I don't even. It's such a good reminder to me that I don't need it. Like I could leave my phone inside and I wouldn't even think twice about my not having my phone, because no one's going to call and tell me that World War III is happening. Whereas that was 100% the case before. And it sounds like that's what you're first experiencing right now. And I can almost feel that relief coming off of out of you.
With jury duty last week, if it had been in the fall, I probably would have stood up and said, I'm getting calls from school all the time. I cannot be here. Mm-hmm. And that didn't even occur to me.
Oh my goodness. That's not a thing I expected when I started Calm the Chaos, for people to be like, and now I don't even dread jury duty. There was definitely some dread of jury duty, but you had a really tough topic. Like you took one for the team last week. That's for sure. Yeah. So if someone's listening to this and they're like, maybe I'll go do it on my own because I know all the information, what would you say to someone if they're just contemplating just doing the free resources that we have?
Yeah, the community support, it makes all the difference. I am very much an independent learner. Mm-hmm. That is my default. I do it by myself. And a lot of times it's not that I'm afraid to ask questions or afraid. I just learn things by myself and figure it out and go about it. Mm-hmm. But the community support is worth everything. And especially, I was working on myself for a couple of solid years. And then when things got really hard for my kids, having that support to lean into, it was invaluable.
I love hearing that. I love that we were there to support you. I like to brag about our community. I think it's one of the best communities on the planet. But I think a lot of times until you're in it, people can't realize exactly how powerful it is. I just heard from someone today and they were like, I don't need community. I probably would never lean into coaching. I would never ask questions. I was like, okay, if that's you, go do it on your own. Totally fine. More power to you. Can't wait to hear how things go. It's exciting. But man, if you are like me and you need to ask questions and you need to massage things and you need to like have people hold space for you, did you know you needed community before, or was like you've learned that through this process?
I didn't know I needed it to this extent.
Okay, that's interesting, because I think a lot of people listening to this, they're like, oh, I'm fine. Like I'll do it all on my own. And I hear from so many people like you who've been in the program for so long, that they're like, no, I didn't even know. Whereas I'm someone who knows. I'm an extrovert. I am like, give me people. I feed off of the energy without it being like a negative thing. But I really enjoy being around people. Whereas I know that we have I would say, more introverts in our community than we do extroverts. And the introverts seem to be really comfortable in our community.
Yeah.
You noticed. Yeah.
I mean, I'm definitely an introvert.
So you haven't just had some great wins when it comes to your family or remaining calm or being able to have the support with your family. You have been able to open up and flourish in your dream life, like the things that you want. And we don't talk about that a lot here on this podcast, but can you share just a little bit of what you're up to and what you've been able to do since finding these tools in the community and your own calm?
Yeah, and executive function support. Yeah. I've been able to make some baby step progress on some different aspects of the art related dreams. And last week on Friday, went up to the mountains and I set up my first solo show, painting show and gallery up there, had a little opening on Saturday. And again, go back to, I had unexpected jury duty last week. It had consumed my whole week and I had everything in place. I was ready for, I wasn't stressing about getting everything ready. And that is not my life.
That is amazing. That is so cool. Congratulations. And were you taking time to paint for yourself 3.5 years ago?
I was taking time to paint.
Okay.
I didn't as much have the small daily times. And so it was the times I was out painting, they were good.
Yeah.
But I wasn't having the daily sustenance that makes the biggest difference in the baseline.
Okay. And were you selling your art at that point or that's newer?
I had sold a couple from a group I was in.
Okay.
And I did have a foundation, a base, mm-hmm. but being able to, like the executive function stuff, to apply to more things, to say yes, that's been a big difference. And last year I did 2 different workshops on using art for well-being and self-care.
That
was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I see you, I've always said this, I see you light up when you talk about your art, you share your art, you share art with others. I just see that sparkle in you every time. And that's really exciting to me to see. Yeah. And it's just cool to see that's grown. I love that you're sharing that it's specifically the executive functioning stuff. And a lot of people don't know that's a piece of what we do here. I think it's by accident. And then now we do it on purpose, but because I am an ADHD adult and I've needed systems to work through things, that's how Calm the Chaos is designed. What would you say is your favorite executive functioning tool? Is it the brain dump or is it more, you've got other ones that you really love?
I think the brain dump and then taking one tiny step at a time, but the brain dump helps me figure out what it is. And it's tiny steps.
Can you give an example? What would you have used to thought was a tiny step? And what is a tiny step now?
Well, the first proof of concept for me with the brain dump was I needed to get my passport renewed. And I had needed that for a couple of years. And I grew up overseas. And so I always had a valid passport. So it caused me anxiety every time I thought about it. And it just wasn't happening. And submitting the application sounded previously like a tiny step. Because it's not huge. And so I started trying out this brain dump daily 3. And my tiny steps were download the application, find out the picture requirements. This was on different days. Find a white background, choose where I'm going to take the picture. And then I had my passport within a couple of months of starting that. And like had it in hand.
Years, and it had taken you years just because you were stifled by the overwhelm of all the steps. And I think people don't realize the power of that, right? Because none of us grew up being taught the word executive functioning, let alone the skills to break things down. Because a lot of us will use like, oh, my tiny next step is to clean the kitchen. And it's like, no, because the kitchen has 50 things that need to be done. So what is the actual tiny next step? So I love that you're sharing that and giving that clear example. I'm hoping people can hear that. What would you say someone could do after listening to this chat that we've had about taking care of themselves, about learning about themselves? We've given lots of ideas of where they could go. What would be a really good tiny next step for someone after listening to this?
I love the brain dump. So I'd say set a 5-minute timer and write a list of as many things you can think of that you like to do. And choose one that you can do in less than 5 minutes right now.
I love that. And if you do that, I want you to send me a message. I want you to take a picture of it, send me a message, tag me on social. I'll make sure Jenny gets it. She would be so excited to hear that her tiny next step helped you take a tiny next step and feel a little bit better and a little bit more in control of where your life is going. Jenny, I cannot thank you enough for sharing with us and opening up your story, your life, being vulnerable. And so just thank you for giving up your time and being here today.
Of course.
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, for anyone who is listening to this, and again, if this resonated with you, if you take that tiny next step of doing the brain dump and doing something that you love to do for 5 minutes, send me a message. Tag me on social. I want to hear what resonated with you and what really landed. And leave a review for the podcast on your favorite podcast listening app, because that helps other people find out about Jenny's awesomeness and all of the rest that you're getting here on this podcast. And I just want to remind you, Jenny really highlighted this, is that it is slow progress. It is not something that you're going to change overnight. And in order to keep making progress, you have to focus on that tiny next step. One step that's so simple, it's impossible to fail. Right now, even if it feels hopeless, even if it feels like you can't even wake up 5 minutes earlier, let's just focus on that tiny next step. And know you do not have to do this alone. There's an army of people out there just waiting for you to reach out, raise your hand and say, I'm here. Hello. All right, guys, this has been so fun chatting, and I can't wait to talk with you on the next episode.
Oh, and before I go, one quick note for all of you who are enjoying the podcast. My new book is officially live, and I know you're going to love it. So just a quick reminder, you can go get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you do, you'll get some cool bonuses as well. Once again, get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com, and I'll see you next week.